Hey, it's Jeff Zito, and thanks for listening to another episode of Celebrity Jobber. So think about this for a minute. Biggest rock star in the world, one of them at least, number one songs, touring the world, selling out arenas, 20,000 people per show. You did it. And then all of a sudden, you say, I'm out, not doing it anymore. That's what happened with our next guest, Adam Gontier, formerly the lead singer of the band 3 Days Grace. It was like their peak of success. Adam announced he was out. And the band 3 Days Grace carried on with another singer. And Adam eventually formed his own project. Well, why? What happened? We're going to ask him. Plus, we'll talk about Adam's first job and maybe what he would be doing if he wasn't a rock star. It's Adam Gontier, formerly of the band 3 Days Grace, and now in the band Saint Asonia. My guest this week on Celebrity Jobber.
The Celebrity Jobber podcast with Jeff Zito. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, give a 5-star rating, and leave a review. Check out all our past episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you pod. What if these celebrities weren't famous? What would they have become? What was their first job? We're about to find out.
Hey, Adam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Where are you these days? Are you in Canada?
No, I'm in Nashville, actually.
Man, I hear Nashville has become like, you know, forget country music, just as far as music in general. It's become another L.A. and New York. Is some truth to that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know quite a few friends of mine that moved here over the last few years. Seems like a lot of rock musicians that I know have set up shop here. It's kind of great for writing and seeing shows and all that stuff.
Right.
So, it's a good town for that stuff.
Now, are you living in Nashville, or are you just there on business, as they say?
No, I live in Nashville, actually. I have a place in Canada as well, in our hometown of Peterborough. But so I go up there. We go up there in the summers to spend some time with the family in the summers. But for most of the year, I live in Nashville.
Now, a little bit different up in Peterborough and in Ontario as far as your surroundings. I mean, it's pretty wide open country for the most part. Am I right? I mean, I'm sure there's a town, but there's a lot of land. There's a lot of hunting. There's a different way of life there.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It's a couple hours from Toronto. So it's a little bit northeast of Toronto, and Peterborough itself, I think there's about 80,000 people in the town. So it's a decent sized city, but, I mean, compared to most other cities, it's pretty small. Yeah, and then surrounding it, it's all farmland and, like you said, a lot of hunting and a lot of lakes and all that stuff. So, a little bit different. But, you know, I also live outside of Nashville, about 20 minutes south. So kind of the same.
Okay.
This way as well. Lots of land and stuff. You know, I'm into that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember talking to a couple of you guys a long time ago, and you were a couple of you guys were telling me about, because I'm fascinated with the land, not as much of a hunter, but I love to fish, I love to hike, I love to, you know, just be outside, and just sounded mm-hmm. like you guys were from paradise. I want to go up there and I want to go up there and experience it a little bit myself. So
it is really nice. Yeah, Canada is great for that, for sure. Yep.
Well, tell me about growing up there. What did you do when you were younger? Did you just have a regular, ordinary life as a kid growing up in Peterborough?
Pretty much. I mean, it was, I was born in Peterborough, and then my family moved to a town outside of Toronto called Markham. And I basically spent about the first, about 10 years we spent there until I was about 11 or 12. We spent in just outside of Toronto. So my parents split when I was about 10, and then that's when I moved back to Peterborough. So yeah, I mean, it was pretty normal. I mean, aside from my parents getting divorced,
right?
That was, you know, it kind of, that was the right thing to do. And as a kid, I was okay with it. You know, it didn't really bother me too much. So yeah, no, it was, for the most part, it was pretty normal childhood. I met, you know, in Peterborough, outside of Peterborough, going to high school there and stuff is where I met the other guys in the band. And yeah, we started a band in high school and then never looked back.
Wow. So did you, you know, and I would imagine at 10 years old, even though you say that it didn't bother you, I would imagine at 10 years old, that's a pretty tough year to go through a divorce. So did you go back to Peterborough to live with mom or dad?
Well, I actually lived in Markham with my mom for a couple years. And then I think it was about three or four years. And then for the first year of high school is when I moved back to the Peterborough area to go to high school in Peterborough. And my dad lived in that area. So I moved, at about 14, moved back in with him and started high school in Peterborough.
What went on as far as sports, and did you play any sports growing up? And, you know, what were you doing when you were a young kid? Were you into music at that time, or did that come a little bit later?
I played a lot of sports. I played, I played everything from hockey to baseball to football and basketball, basically those four. And I played it a lot, like in high school, you know, it was pretty decent. And so, yeah, it was a lot of that, but there was also a lot of music. So there was, my family is pretty musical. My mom's side of the family is very musical. So I grew up with her, playing piano in, like piano bars and that sort of thing.
Oh, cool.
So I was influenced by music pretty early on. So there was a little bit of both in the small town of Peterborough and sort of outside of Peterborough, Norwood, specific town where we went to high school. There wasn't anything. The only thing you could do is basically go to school and play sports. So that's
right,
kind of what we did. And, that's where I met Brad Walsh, the bass player for 3 Days Grace. That's
right.
Where I met him, and we had the same sort of interest in bands, in certain bands, and we started just playing music together because I already played guitar and sang, but I needed someone to jam with in Norwood, so I convinced him to get a bass guitar for Christmas so we could do some jamming.
Now you said your family was pretty musical and your mom played mm-hmm. piano, like at a piano bar. Was she a professional musician, and what was your parents' occupation when you were growing up?
Yeah, my mom was a musician. She played piano, jazz piano and contemporary stuff in different hotel lounges, like back in the 80s and into the early 90s, that was a pretty standard thing to have musicians playing at the piano, like a piano player in a lounge in the hotel and that sort of thing. So yeah, that's what she did for a living. My dad did construction work, but I would go with her when my parents had divorced. A lot of times my mom couldn't afford a babysitter, so she would bring me to the hotel where she was playing.
Oh, cool.
Where she was playing, and I would just kind of hang out. Quite a few times I actually just sat underneath the piano and listened to her playing.
Right.
So yeah, that was her. Yeah, she was a professional musician. That's what she did, and she still does it. Not so much in hotel lounges and that sort of thing, but just wherever. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So I grew up with the music all around. My dad loved music, but couldn't really carry it too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, most of us can't, you know, most of us that do love music also can't carry a tune. So it's high school. You meet Brad, who ends up being the bassist for 3 Days of Grace, and 3 Days Grace basically formed out of high school.
Yeah, that's right. I met Brad in high school, and I already knew Neil Sanderson, the drummer from Peterborough as well. So I knew a bunch of people in Peterborough, and the high school that I went to was actually in Norwood, which was about 30 minutes east of Peterborough. So that's where I met Brad. And then I got Neil and Brad together and myself and a couple other players. And we were, the band that we started then was called Groundswell. And we played a bunch of stuff. We did like high school, we played some high school dances and that sort of thing, and then did some weddings and some like backyard like hay wagon parties and just weird stuff. We basically played anything we could get our hands on, and then we decided to move to Toronto to try to make it as a band. So we did that and changed our name, and then that was sort of where it took off.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
It took off all right. How old were you guys when things, I mean, you must have been in your very young 20s when I Hate Everything About You came out.
Yeah, I think I was 23 or 24, maybe.
How did you get discovered? Tell me how that all kind of happened, because it seems, you know, between high school and 22 or 23 years old and having a big hit on the radio, it seems like a relatively, you know, short amount of time.
Yeah, we moved from Peterborough to Toronto, and we got an apartment together, the band did, and we all had day jobs. I was like a manager at a little like stir fry restaurant, and Neil, the drummer, was working at the Gap,
selling jeans.
Brad was, yeah, exactly. And Brad actually, he continued going to school when he got up to Toronto. So he kind of did it the right way and ended up going to business school and then became an accountant for a magazine. So he was the only one that had an actual real job, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, there was a few years of us just playing, like doing our day jobs and trying to play as many shows as we could in Toronto. And then outside of Toronto, we would go north to these little cottage towns and play like a weekend at a bar to make money. So we did a lot of that. There was a few years of that. And then eventually, we played a show, and there was a producer there. His name was Gavin Brown, and he's the guy who ended up producing our first album. He was working for EMI Publishing at the time. So what happened was we played a show. Gavin was there. He invited EMI to come and watch us practice and that sort of thing. And they came and watched and basically signed us to a development deal, which ended up being sort of like they gave us a chunk of money so that we could quit our day jobs, get all the gear that we needed, and just spend every day working on music. So that was really the start of it. It felt like the success of the band felt like it was overnight, from meeting Gavin to getting the deal to making the demos and getting the song out there. But we had been a band for so long before that, you know. It was definitely a lot of hard work, and the show that we actually met our producer at was almost going to be our last show. Like, we had been doing it for so long and not much had happened, and we were getting fed up. with doing it. And we just figured that we were getting close to the end of like even bothering to try. And I remember it being probably our last show. Like, you know, it was at a little bar called Clinton's in Toronto. And we just happened to meet the right person at that.
Wow.
That last show.
See that?
Yeah, it was really close to not happening. It was crazy.
Like back to the stir fry restaurant, what would you have done?
Yeah. Well, probably. I think so. I mean, that would have been, I always planned on playing music regardless of whether it was, you know, at the level that I guess 3 Days Grace did, or if it was playing in little pubs around Toronto, just making ends meet. That was my plan, but who knows if that would have panned out. I think I probably would have just stuck around the food industry and maybe worked my way up to trying to be a chef or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I do enjoy cooking. I do a lot of stuff at home, and so maybe that's where it would have ended up.
Wow.
I think I would have played music regardless. I just don't know at what level.
Sure. What about your first job, Adam? Do you remember your very first job? Was it that one that you were telling me about, or did you have another job before that?
No, I had a couple other jobs before that. I think my first job was probably my first actual job where I was getting an actual legit paycheck, I think, was pumping gas at a little tiny convenience store in Norwood, Ontario, outside of Peterborough there. That was probably my first job.
Okay.
Pretty sure it was. I mean, I had little jobs before that working, you know, doing landscaping and stuff for elderly ladies in the town, you know, just cutting their grass and that sort of thing. But no, that was my first legit job, pumping gas.
First legit job was pumping gas, and you worked at the restaurant, and then we never looked back. So tell me a little bit about St. Ausonia, and because, you know, and I've never had the opportunity to ask you this question, which is such a big reason why I wanted to talk to you, because you know, I've been in the rock radio biz for a long time. 3 Days Grace was the, you know, maybe outside of Linkin Park, 3 Days Grace was one of the biggest bands in the format. Rock bands, humongous. You were at the top. You did it. You made it, you know, for lack of a better term. And then, you know, we all heard that 3 Days Grace was getting another singer and you were going to form your own band. Can you tell me, walk me through your decision to do that while you were at the, you know, the peak of success?
Yeah. Well, it really all came down to I wasn't healthy. Like I didn't feel how it had been years and years of kind of abusing my body and my mind with drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. And I was in and out of treatment centers, you know, and then so it got to a point where it just felt like no matter how much time I needed away, or I just couldn't find a way to work on myself. And it started to take me over, and it got to a point where it was just unhealthy for me to continue touring and to continue the whole machine, you know, because it was nonstop. Like you said, we were at the peak, and it was rolling, and it was a massive machine that was just, and I didn't really see an end in sight, but I knew that I was, you know, in my mind and my body were just not healthy. So that was the main reason for the decision that I made to leave the band. I wanted to take some time, and it just felt like I wasn't going to get any time. So that was the main reason. That, you know, after 20 years of being in a band with people, you know, there's always little clashes here and there, personality clashes, and we were friends before we became the band. So it was just a weird situation where I think we had all sort of changed in different ways, and we were just, you know, different clashes here and there, but really it came down to my mental well-being and my physical well-being, and I had to do it. So I did it and took some time off, Yeah, and right when I left the band, Mike Mushok from Stained,
yeah,
who was a friend of mine, he reached out and asked me how I was doing, you know, just checking in, that sort of thing. And yeah, we got together, we did some writing, and it just went really well. We didn't really have any intention of starting another band, especially not a, you know, like another kind of heavy active rock band. We were just going to work on a couple songs and see what happened, but it ended up going really well, and we wrote more songs than we thought we would. So we ended up, just sending the demos to the record label, and they wanted to give it a go. So it all just kind of started back up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. So what do you think, Adam? Like, thanks for being so honest. You were having some issues. You were going through some really personal stuff. And yes, The machine, people don't realize the machine that Adam's talking about. I mean, it's just not, he's not just writing songs and like going through his everyday life. I mean, he's got so much shit to do. Writing songs, the publicity, the tour. I mean, it's nonstop. It probably got overwhelming at some point. You made the decision. But what did you think was going to happen when you were like, okay, I'm out. I'm done. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to work on myself and get myself in a better place. What did you think was going to happen from there? Did you think music was over for you?
No, I didn't think I would stop playing music altogether or anything like that. I just knew I needed to shut everything down for a bit and just focus on myself. I think I felt for many, many years that I was just focused on everybody else and everything else that needed to get done. And there was, like you said, there was a ton of pressure to do things, and it was hard to, like, it was really tough to say no or to, you know, to not do something or just whatever. There was, you know, it just wasn't a healthy environment in general. So, I think I just mainly wanted a break. And in my head, I thought maybe I'll just do some acoustic albums and maybe I'll just keep it light and see what happens. But really, after some time away, it just became clear that I need to write some more heavy rock tunes.
Right. What was like your rock bottom thing? Was there something that happened to you that was like, okay, this is it. I need to get away from this.
I mean, over 20 years of doing it, there were many, many points that were super low. You know, a lot of times where I was in a foreign country and without what I needed to be normal. So
right.
I, you know, become dope sick in places like Brazil and Australia and, you know, places where I just didn't have,
you didn't have anybody. You didn't know anybody. There's nobody to call to say help.
Exactly. Yeah. Stuff like that is definitely, they're super lows, you know?
Yeah.
When you're sick and not able to get out of bed and not really able to play a show, but you know, that kind of thing. So there was a lot of those over the years, and those added up over time. There wasn't a specific, like, I didn't end up in jail or institutionalized or anything. So, you know, it wasn't a rock bottom like that, but it was just the whole the whole collection.
Yeah,
of,
well, that's a rock bottom for sure. I can definitely relate and understand. Mm-hmm. Were you afraid that, hey, I'm going to start this new band because I, you know, music is my life. I'm going to start this new band. I'm leaving this one thing behind that was extremely successful. Were you afraid that, you know, lightning striking twice, you know, is going to be difficult?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I was afraid. I think I was more so excited to try and do it again, and try to sort of push and have some kind of success with the new band. I don't think I ever really necessarily expected to reach that same level that that 3 Days Grace did, and even nowadays it's such a different climate. Like the industry is so different now that that, you know, 3 Days Grace sort of got into the music industry just kind of under the wire of before all of the, you know, just before all of the streaming and all that stuff. So it was just a different world. And so yeah, I've never really planned on or expect Saint Asonia to reach that level. But we're still pushing a boulder up a hill, but getting there.
I don't know about pushing a boulder up a hill, but I love the band, and I love Mike. I hate to say super group. Somewhat of a super group. Is it your brother that's also in the band?
It's my cousin, Kale.
Your cousin. Okay. And
yeah.
Kale, musical, from another musical family. Was he, you know, always been involved in this kind of stuff?
Yeah, he's always been into music. He's we grew up together. I was an only child growing up, but I grew up with Kale and his brother Josh. So we basically grew up as brothers. And yeah, he's super musical. Same thing. Like I was saying, our mom's side of the family is very musical. So we grew up playing music together. I remember us playing and putting on little shows when we were like 5, 6 years old, for our parents and family and stuff. So yeah, we have always done it. And he actually played bass in a few different bands like Thornley.
Oh yeah.
Art of Dying, and, you know, just played with some other artists and stuff. So he's been around for a long time. So it's nice to have him in the band finally, and we are finally actually doing it at this level together, which is killer, because wanted to. It just never worked out.
He's like a little bit of I don't want to say safety net, but gives you a little bit of family.
Absolutely.
And it just kind of gives you that, it makes you feel like you're in a good place having him around.
Absolutely, man, 100%. It's really important to be surrounded by, especially for myself, just to be surrounded by the right people on tour and people that care and know your situation and that sort of thing.
Right.
It's incredible having him out there, you know, touring and sharing the stage together every night. And just having him around. He is the best guy that I've ever known, and he's a super nice guy and gets along with everybody. So it's incredible to have him in the band.
What are you doing when you have some downtime and there's, you know, no machine, no writing? Like, what do you like to do?
You know what? I spend time at home with my family. I have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. And when I'm home, it's all about just spending time with them. You know, there's nothing like it. You get out on the road and you spend so much time away from home. When you get home, it's just, there's no feeling like it. Just, you know, sitting down with the kids and chilling out.
Yeah, and being like a normal dad and that normal life that everybody has 24/7, you don't get to experience it. So when you do get a chance to come home, I'm sure, you know, going to the soccer game or just running errands, I'm sure to you that's quality stuff.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. And like you said too, there's a certain point where, well, for me it was having a couple kids and realizing, you know, like you said, you don't really sweat the small stuff. I just try to enjoy enjoy every minute, you know. It's we're here for a pretty short amount of time, so it's.
You do any hunting? Because I remember I had a long conversation with Barry. It seemed like, you know, from 3 days of grace, it seemed like hunting was his life.
I haven't in years. I used to go with my, Kale and I actually used to go with our dads when we were a bit younger in Canada. We'd do some duck hunting and goose hunting. They would go deer hunting the odd time. But no, I haven't done it in years. And my dad passed a couple of years ago. So
it's
kind of one of those things that, you know.
Yeah.
I think he'd probably be the only person that I'd actually end up going with if I were to. So I don't really see myself hunting anytime soon.
Right.
I love to fish. Fishing all the time. Love to fish.
A lot of good fishing in Nashville? Or is it fly fishing? Or what kind of fishing is it?
I haven't fished in Nashville yet.
Okay.
I haven't been here long enough to scope it out, but that is the plan.
That is. Okay. Look, I really appreciate the conversation. Really, really cool to talk to you. Wish you all the success.
I appreciate you taking the time. And
are you on all the socials? Do you want to plug any of your socials? Or
I am, yeah. I do a lot of Instagram, so I'm on Instagram at Adam Gonche Official, and at St. Asonia. I'm always there as well. Kale's usually the one in charge of Facebook, and sometimes I jump over to Threads. But yeah, we're on there.
Great. Great talking to you. Great conversation. And nothing but success to you in 2024.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that reached the pinnacle of success for his dreaming, becoming a rock star. Okay, there's only a few bands that make it to rock star level. His band, 3 Days Grace, was one of them, playing big arenas, thousands, tens of thousands of people per show. 20,000 people at a show, and more. And then all of a sudden didn't want to do it anymore. As far as we heard in the, you know, the world, reading that 3 Days Grace has a new singer, Adam Gonche, is finished. He's done. Couldn't figure that out. Well, now him being so honest, it seemed like he had an addiction problem. And talking about rock bottom, being in Brazil and not having the stuff that you needed to, quote unquote, be well, dope sick in another country. Wow, that was, it's pretty heavy stuff. And again, I thought that was very honest of him to share. It was something that I did not know prior to this conversation. First job, pumping gas at a convenience store. His parents were, I guess dad was a construction worker. Mom was musical. Mom had a voice. She sang in some clubs and some hotels. And I guess that's where Adam got his musical ability. By the way, not only Adam's first job pumping gas, he also said he managed a stir fry restaurant. And if it didn't work out for him with 3 Days Grace or St. Asonia, if he did not work out in music, he said he would have tried to go the food route. He thinks he would have gone back to a restaurant, tried to manage, and then ultimately work up to become a chef, which I thought was pretty interesting. He said he likes to cook in his spare time. He does a lot of that. But mainly when he's not touring and being a rock star, he just likes being normal, hanging with his family, his kids, his wife, going on errands. Normal. It's kind of what he likes to do when not participating on the machine. Awesome, man. Really cool guy. I was really impressed with Adam Gonche. The band is St. Asonia. Their latest single is called Wolf, and it features John Cooper of the band Skillet. And of course, our past episodes available on celebrityjobber.com. Please subscribe. If you like this podcast, you'd appreciate a 5-star rating. Leave a review. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you pod. And youtube.com/@celebrityjobber. And you can also follow us on Instagram, Celebrity Jobber Podcast. That'll do it for this week. I thank you, as always, for listening. Until next time, I'm Jeff Zito.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.